knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we might be closer drawn to Thee. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly freedom, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Father, we pray that You'll lead us to the Lamb afresh today, that we might see Christ even in the pages of Thy Word, and we might be drawn afresh to His wounded side. We pray for any who are not saved, that, O God, today Thou wilt graciously, tenderly, lovingly speak to their hearts. And, O God, by Thy Holy Spirit, draw them to Thee, that they may be saved even this day, that they may trust in Christ even this very morning, that they may yield to His claims as they are offered freely in the gospel. We come to Thee in behalf of the church family. We pray that Thou wilt bless all today in their homes who meet with us in worship, some who maybe cannot because they are unable to link in to sermon audio. We pray, Father, that Thou wouldst bless all our people, that Thou wouldst undertake for each one. And, O God, we pray that Thou wouldst meet the need of individuals, of families, older people, middle-aged people, younger people. We pray that Thou wilt undertake and meet the need of every heart today. Pray where there is sorrow that Thou wouldst give comfort, where there is sickness that Thou wilt give healing. Thank Thee for ministering to Hazel this week. Pray that Thou wilt continue to minister to her and restore her to health and strength again. Bless her and her family and all who have illness problems. We pray that Thou wilt meet their needs at this time, that Thou wouldst comfort them and help them. We pray for those who are feeling the difficulty of this lockdown, some who have been locked down for a long period of time. We pray that Thou wilt help them, and Lord, that Thou wilt graciously draw near to give that strength and comfort and grace at this hour. We pray, our Father, that Thou wilt remember this land, this nation, this world. We pray for Thine intervention amidst the turmoil that exists across the world, even today. We pray that Thou wilt turn the hearts of men and women and young people to Thee, that there may be a turning unto God. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt remember concerning this pandemic. We thank Thee for how You have intervened already. And Lord, that some restrictions have been relaxed, even in our own country and further afield. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us to give thanks unto Thee for how the government has been given wisdom to manage these matters. We pray that Thou wilt continue to give wisdom to our health minister, to the ministers in government here in Northern Ireland, to those in our national government, and to those in governments across the world. We pray that Thou wilt minister to them today. Draw their hearts to Thee, and may they recognize the goodness of the Lord in all of this. Remember our ministers today. Remember their ministries today as they minister Thy word. We pray that across this world, as the gospel goes out, that men and women and young people will be confronted with the claims of Christ and brought to a knowledge of the Savior. We pray for those who have serious treatments, gone through serious surgery. Pray for healing for such that we have heard of even in recent days. We pray that Thou wilt restore them to health and strength. Remember them at this time and do them good. So bless us, our God. Bless our missionaries to the uttermost parts of the world. Keep Thy hand upon them. Minister, Lord, to them and all the work of our church, and all the work of Bible-believing people across this world, that Thou wilt use them as they minister forth Thy truth today and on other occasions. Thank You for this means of presenting Thy word in these unprecedented times. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt use it continually for Thy glory, to the strengthening of the saints, and to the salvation of sinners. Be with us now. Grant us Thy presence as we meet together around Thy feet. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning in the Word of God this morning to the book of Colossians once again. And we're reading some verses here from chapter 1, beginning to read at the verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and reading through to the end of this chapter of God's Word. Trust you'll open your Bible wherever you are, and that you'll follow with us in the reading of God's Word. Let us hear the Word of God today. Colossians 1, verse 20. And, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is manifest, made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his precious, infallible, inspired, and inerrant word. Boys and girls, we turn your thoughts again to the book of 1 Samuel. And we've been looking last week at Samuel. And we're going to continue that this morning. Samuel was just a little boy, but he went to minister in the temple alongside Eli, who was a priest of the Lord. And you remember that we told you about Eli's sons, that they were wicked and sinful in the sight of God, and they did things that were sinful. And Eli was grieved. He was displeased, and of course God was displeased at what the sons of Eli had been doing at the temple of the Lord. And God saw their contempt for his offerings. It was a very serious matter at the entrance to his house. And Eli warned them. And we're coming to that warning today. How he warned them, and he told them that they must stop because their sins were against the Lord. They were guilty before God. But these sons were unwise, boys and girls. They were sinful. They were vile. They didn't regard the Lord's word or his work. They were heedless and careless concerning these things. They didn't listen to what Eli, their father, the priest of God, was telling them. Many times, boys and girls, we are heedless and we are careless when God's word is spoken to us, telling us about our sin, telling us about the wrong that we have done. And yet we don't take heed to the word of God. I trust that will not be so this morning, that you will take heed to God's word today, and that you will turn from your sin to the Lord. The Bible tells us that Samuel was growing up at this time in the presence of the Lord. And he was there in the tabernacle near the ark of God. And he was sleeping in that particular place. And he heard a voice. And that voice called his name, Samuel. And he heard that voice. He didn't know what it was. And you can imagine, boys and girls, if you heard someone calling your name in the night when you're sleeping, you would be alarmed, maybe even frightened at someone calling your name at that time of night. And so he got up and he ran into the presence of Eli, and he thought Eli had called him. He said, "Here am I, you called me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down again." And so he went back to his bed and he lay down again and again. The second time, boys and girls, he heard his name called out, Samuel. Again, he was alarmed by this. It wasn't something just happened once. Maybe he thought he hadn't really heard it, but now he was clear he had heard it. He got up again and went into Eli, the priest of God, and he said, "Here I am, for you really did call me." "I didn't call you," said Eli. "Go and lie down again." And you know, boys and girls, perhaps in the quietness of your heart, you've heard that voice, maybe not an audible voice, but a voice calling your name. God is speaking to you, even today. Speaking to you about the wrong that you have done, the sin that you've committed, the way that you've taken against Him. The fact that you don't know Him. And He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. Will you listen to His voice? Will you hear His voice this morning? Will you respond to the voice of God this morning? We'll see how this story develops in weeks to come in relation to Samuel and the call of God to Samuel. But boys and girls, be assured this morning that God is calling you. He's calling you to Himself, to trust Him, to be that you might know Him as your Savior, that He might be Lord of your life, and that you might truly be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. May that be so this morning. Now we're going to come to our chorus. You'll hear it played through twice. You can join in the actions. Rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. We do emphasize the welcome that we gave at the commencement of the service, and we trust the Lord will bless you as you meet with us this morning and listen in and look in on our service here in Ballygowan. We trust that the Lord's blessing will be upon you and upon your family at this time. Do remember the season of prayer in our own homes this afternoon from 2 to 3 o'clock, and let us meet there in prayer and seek the Lord's face as we've been doing during this period of lockdown. And remember the drive-in service in the church car park tonight. The car park gates open from 6:30 p.m. Please remember to stay in your vehicles apart from those stewarding or participating in the service. Social distancing to be observed at all times. The preacher tonight, God willing, is Dr. Stanley Barnes, and the soloist is Mrs. Natasha Atchison. Do remember, please, the service. If you can get here safely, we trust that you will join with us tonight for our service.
Then remember that today is our building fund, and at this stage of a service, any time we worship God with our offerings, and we know that you've been laying aside your tithes and offerings for the Lord's work. Remember, this is our building fund. You'll have opportunity, if you get tonight, to drop your offerings in at the drive-in service, if that you so desire. So remember that today. And then each day at 2 o'clock, we ask you to remember the time of prayer in our homes or wherever you are at that particular time, to lift your heart to God and to pray for God's intervention. And we want to give thanks for how God has intervened, and even the relaxing of some of the restrictions. And we trust more will be relaxed as has been announced in days to come. Tuesday at 8 p.m., we've been meeting in recent couple of weeks, the prayer meeting by Zoom, for those of us who could join in with that. And I know it's not suitable for everyone, but if you can join in with and link up with that, we put up the ID and the password on WhatsApp for you, so that you can join us for the prayer meeting on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. But if you cannot, then in your own home, trust that you will meet in prayer and seek the Lord's face and cry unto the Lord in these times. Remember, next Lord's Day, the service online at 11:30 a.m., the Lord willing, and I will be the preacher. And then the drive-in service at 7 p.m., and the preacher and soloist at the drive-in service next Sunday night in the church car park will be the Reverend William McCrae. Do remember, please, these services next Lord's Day. And we pray the Lord's blessing will be upon each one of us in these days. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let us seek the Lord's face at this particular time. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come to Thee, to Thy Word this day. We pray that Thou wilt speak to our hearts from Thy Word. We thank Thee that the entrance of Thy Word giveth light. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take of the things of Christ and reveal them unto us today. We pray that we'll be encouraged through Thy Word, that we'll be strengthened by the Word of God even this morning, that we'll see Christ in the pages of Scripture. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to turn your attention again to the first chapter of the book of Colossians. We have been considering Colossians in recent times in our Lord's Day morning services. And we have seen already that Christ is preeminent in this book. And of course, we thought about the words there that in all things He might have the preeminence. Those words are before us in this chapter of God's precious Word. That in all things He, that is Christ, might have the preeminence. Verse 18 of the chapter 1 of Colossians. We saw the preeminence of Christ in the cross. Christ preeminent in the cross. And we must ever get to the cross and think of the Lord Jesus Christ and of His sufferings and of His death and what He accomplished there for our salvation. And then we thought also of the preeminence of Christ in creation. The Lord Jesus Christ is preeminent in creation. We look around us and we see all that God has done, and we are reminded of the preeminence of Christ in creation. And then last Lord's Day, we thought about the preeminence of Christ in the church, the body of Christ, the body of believers, and Christ must be preeminent. Verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And we thought about the church of Christ that He has purchased with His own blood. Christ preeminent in the church. But then we come today to the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and we think about Christ preeminent in His calling. The calling to the ministry and the ministry itself of the Apostle Paul. Someone has said, and rightly so, if God has called you to be a minister, then don't stoop to be a king. If God has called you to be a minister, don't stoop to be a king. You will notice the Apostle Paul describes himself as a minister. Hear verse 23 of the passage we've read from. I, Paul, am made a minister. Again, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister. You go back to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says this. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. He was a minister of the gospel, a minister of Christ, and he ever sought in that ministry to uplift Jesus Christ wherever he was called to minister. Christ was preeminent in the ministry of the apostle. The apostle considered it to be a great honor to be entrusted with the message of mercy for mankind. He considered it a privilege to suffer for that cause, the cause of the gospel, the cause of Christ. You will notice he says here in verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Again in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4, he said this, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. You see, the Apostle Paul was not rejoicing merely for the Colossians, but he regarded himself as suffering on account of his labors in preaching to the heathen at large. In Ephesians chapter 3 again, verse 1, and then down to verse 13. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, Paul the prisoner. Verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory, his tribulations in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his labors for the heathen and among the heathen at large. His trials at Rome had come upon him because he had maintained that the wall of partition was broken down, that the gospel was to be preached indiscriminately to all mankind. And we ought to rejoice this morning, dear friends, that we are counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. In his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ said this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Rejoicing in being counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be reviled, to be ridiculed by the world for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says here in Colossians 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And he goes on to say, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. In other words, that which I lack of coming up to the sufferings which Christ endured in the cause of the church. The apostle seems to mean here that he suffered in the same cause as that for which Christ suffered. And also that he endured the same kind of sufferings to some extent in reproaches and in persecutions and the opposition from the world. And further, that he had not yet suffered as much as Christ did in that cause. And though he had suffered greatly, yet there was much that was lacking to make him equal in respect, in this respect, to his Savior. And also that he felt that it was an object that he earnestly desired to be made in all respects, just like Christ, that he might fill up that which was behind in regard to the afflictions of Christ in his flesh, that he might have more of a complete resemblance to the Lord Jesus Christ in this regard. And what he says here is based upon the longing of his heart, the great principle of his life, to be like Christ. I like him in moral character. I like him in suffering and in destiny. You remember in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, the apostle said this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And having this strong desire, Paul had been led to pursue a course of life which conducted him through many trials, strongly resembling those which Christ himself had endured. He was filling up now that which he fell short of in regard to the sufferings of Christ in his flesh, in bodily sufferings. Of course, Paul endured many buffetings and beatings. He suffered much in his body for the cause of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 8 to 10, the apostle, in writing to the church there at Corinth, he said this. Listen to these words of Scripture. He said, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given me for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed." And then he goes on, if you turn there to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 8 to 10, he said this, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Listen to this. "Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Suffering for the cause of Christ. And then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 21, he says, "Here I speak concerning reproach." And he goes on from verse 23 down to verse 27. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness." You see, Paul endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. "Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas?" Being a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ involves enduring hardness, at times even persecution. And for many, the severest of persecution, which Paul endured. See the purpose in such sufferings. You go back there to chapter 1 of Colossians in verse 24. "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." You see, such sufferings endured by the apostle would be helpful to the church of Christ. This was for their edification and for their consolation. And Paul, in writing to Philippians, the Philippians in chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 12 to 14, he said this, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, it was for the strengthening of his brethren in Christ, the strengthening of the body of Christ, to encourage those who knew his testimony to embrace the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. When we think, brethren and sisters, of what Paul suffered for Christ's sake, and what the great men and women of God down through the centuries of time have endured too, it's a great encouragement to us even to suffer for the Lord's sake. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And Christ was preeminent in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. That he was a minister of Christ. He was a minister of the gospel. And in that ministry, he endured much for Christ's sake and for the glory of his name. Going on here in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister. You see that again, a minister. According to the dispensation which is given to me for you. In other words, the arrangement which God had made. That is, he designed that the gospel should be preached to the Gentiles. And in accordance with that arrangement, the Apostle Paul was called to be a minister. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation, or if you like, stewardship of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. It means here that this arrangement was made that he should be the apostle to the Gentiles. Should take the word of God to the Gentiles. To fulfill the word of God, it says here. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. To fully preach the word of God. The original language that's used here, and going back to that, the sense is to fill up the word of God, or to fully preach and promulgate the gospel. And Paul writing in Romans chapter 15 and verse 19, he said, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. The business of the faithful minister is to preach Christ. The whole counsel of God. Someone has wrote those words. In all your preaching, preach Christ. In season, out of season, preach the word. May that be so with us. May that be so with every minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, to fulfill the word of God. And then he goes on, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. The mystery. To make that mystery fully known. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 to 9, the Apostle Paul there, he said this. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 to 9. He said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. There you have it again. As I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Again, the mystery. which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it has been now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery? There you have it again, the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The mystery, the great doctrine, salvation, was to be proclaimed to all mankind. It had been concealed for many generations. Hence it was called a mystery or a hidden truth. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, he said, we preach the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. But you'll notice he says here in Colossians 1 and 26, but is now made manifest, but now is made manifest to his saints. This mystery is now made manifest. It was communicated especially to the apostles who were appointed to proclaim it through them to all the saints. And Paul says that he regarded himself as specially called to make this truth known as far as possible to mankind, that the word might go out. To whom? To the saints. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles. The saints. God would make it known. He willed to make it known. And he was pleased to make this known. It was conceived in his bosom until he chose to reveal it to the apostles. It was a doctrine which the Jewish people did not understand. Reading there in Ephesians 3, 5 and 6, which in other ages is not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Make it known. The Word of God, the Gospel of Christ, being proclaimed, being spread abroad, being heralded forth. What should be made known? The riches of the glory of this mystery. The rich glory of this long concealed truth. The word riches is a favorite word with the apostle to denote that which is valuable or that which abounds. He talks on occasions of the riches of his grace. For example, Ephesians 1 and 7, whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The meaning here is, in this verse, that the truth of the gospel was to be preached to all mankind. It was a truth abounding in glory, which is the riches of his glory. Among the Gentiles, the glory of this truth is manifested by the effects which it has produced among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ among you. The meaning is that the whole of that truth, so full of glory, so rich and elevated in its effect, is summed up in this, that Christ is revealed among you as the source of hope, of glory in a better world. This is a message that the world needs to hear. A message that the world needs to hear afresh today. A message of hope in the midst of a hopeless world, when men's hearts are failing them for fear. They're wringing their hands, unable to cope with all that is happening in this world. Thank God there's a message of hope in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that message we proclaim today. As Paul mentioned it here, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The message of Christ. Oh, that's the message of hope. Not the message of a church. Not the message of a man. Not the message of an organization. It is the message of Christ. We proclaim Christ today to you, whom we preach, he says, warning every man. This does not mean warning of danger, but rather admonishing all of the claims of the gospel, bringing it to their attention. Our word warn is commonly used in the sense of warning against danger. In the original here, the word means to put in mind, to admonish, to exhort. Whom we preach, Paul says, verse 28, warning every man. Exhorting, admonishing. The apostle saw it as his great duty to bring the offer of the gospel firmly to the minds of every man. As it had the same claims upon all, so it might be freely offered to all. It furnished the only hope of glory. And the only hope that you have, my friend, today is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world cannot offer you any hope. There is no hope in this world. But thank God there is hope in Christ today. There is hope in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you come to him today, thank God you will have hope not only for now, but for all eternity. Will you come to him today? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the only hope of glory. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge to us in every place. Whom we preach, he said, warning every man. And then he goes on, not only warning, not only exhorting, not only admonishing, bringing to mind these things, but teaching every man in all wisdom. Sound instruction was part of the ministry of Paul and is a part of the ministry of every faithful minister of the gospel, to instruct men and women and young people in those truths which before they have been ignorant of. Remember those great words of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the 28th chapter of Matthew and the verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach. Or make disciples of, as we sometimes say, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching. Ministry of teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 25, Paul wrote, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Instruction. The word of God is profitable for these things. It is an instructive book, a word that gives to us instruction. And then he goes on to say, Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, in all wisdom, in all wisdom. The endeavor to manifest true wisdom in the method in which they instructed others, and how we need the wisdom of God in the presentation of the gospel, that wisdom that comes from above, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, Paul goes on to say here. And Paul was anxious that no one to whom he ministered would be lost. He wanted to meet them at the judgment bar and present them perfect by means of what the gospel had wrought within them. The gospel that he preached. It is our concern, it is our anxiety, that you might be gathered in, that you might not experience what it is to be lost forever in a Christless eternity, but that you might be found holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. That you may be brought into Christ. And thank God He invites you to do that today. To come to Him. Him that cometh unto me, He says, I will in no wise cast out. And then Paul says in the last verse of this chapter 1 of Colossians, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. I also labor. Paul was a laborer. He was a laborer. We are laborers together with God. We must work for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. The minister is not to be lazy. The ministry of the gospel demands work. It demands labor. And Paul was a laborer. We must work for the Master. He labored to exalt Christ, to glorify the Lord. Notice how Peter labored. And the rest of the apostles, Peter, Philip labored too in Acts chapter 8 in Samaria, also out in the desert, not only preaching the word, but also in personal evangelism. May God cause us to be laborers in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever God has placed us, to be a laborer for Him. He notice the words he uses here, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. The word striving there means agonizing. You see, all his energy were taxed to accomplish this. As the wrestlers strove for the mastery in the Grecian games, and that's the picture here, striving for the mastery. Paul was agonizing in his labor in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to His working. Not by His own strength, but by the power of God, which cometh alone from Him. We have no strength in and of ourselves today to do this work. We cannot do it by our own might or by our own power. We must have the power of God. We need that power to enable us, to endure us, to strengthen us, to do the work of God. And Paul knew this power. He had the power of the Spirit upon his ministry. And he was able to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. He was able in his ministry to give Christ the preeminence. God forbid that I should glory, he said, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right from the beginning to the end of Paul's ministry, he put Christ first. God forbid that we should put ourselves first. God forbid that we should promote ourselves. That we should exalt ourselves or uplift ourselves. But oh, that we might be hid behind the cross. That Christ alone may be seen, uplifted and honored and glorified. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. And again in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul was a fearless preacher. Paul was a forthright preacher. Paul was a faithful preacher. He preached Christ. He exalted the Son of God. He considered it a wonderful privilege to be put in trust with the gospel. That the Lord had counted him faithful in putting him into the ministry. And from the very commencement of his life, he preached Christ in the synagogue. That he was the Son of God. You read in Acts chapter 9. Thomas Goodwin said this, God had but one Son in the world, and He made Him a minister. God had but one Son in the world,
And he made him a minister. Here's Paul. He was made a minister. What a privilege. Yet what a responsibility. With every privilege there comes a responsibility. And with the office of a minister, there comes the responsibility to be faithful to Christ, faithful to the Word of God, come what may, to present the truths of God's Word without fear or favor, to preach the Word, to be instant, in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The preeminence of Christ in his calling, the calling of Paul to be a minister of the gospel, that in all things he, Christ, might have the preeminence. May it be so in our ministry, in our lives. And if you know not Christ today, may you come to him, even now, and trust him as your Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. Let us pray. Father, apply thy word to the consciences, to the hearts of men and women and young people this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're turning in our hymn books to our closing hymn, which is the hymn number 682 on page 451, if you have a hymn book there. Hark the voice of Jesus crying, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? Loud and long the Master calleth, rich reward he offers thee. Who will answer gladly, saying, here am I, send me, send me. Trust you'll join in the singing of this hymn.
Thank you for listening to the service here at Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church this morning. If you have any concerns about your soul, I trust that you will text or call us, and we'll be happy to speak to you at any time. Let us engage in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will abide with each one, now and forevermore. Amen.